"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeart Radio app. KFI AM 640 live everywhere.
On the iHeart. Did you just dump the table?
Killing a fly.
That bad in the studio these days, huh?
Yeah, live.
Can't afford any insect killers?
No.
No.
There's a lot of people who attract flies around here.
Yeah, all right. Well, today, wow, this show is really loaded. This debate, we're going to get to it in a moment.
Did you watch the whole thing?
No. The football game was more interesting for a while, so I was switching back and forth. Dallas against Seattle was pretty good at the half. I watched probably half of it, I guess. I certainly got the gist of it. I know most of the
It didn't get any better.
Well, let me start with this. We have to start with this first. The Pastathon. The total raised right now has crossed 1.1 million.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
$1,101,300 is the new total for the Pastathon. So it is not over. Remember, Yogi. By the way, did you watch the Yogi Berra film, the documentary?
No.
Oh, you should. It's fantastic. I thought of you. I watched it on a plane coming back on a trip recently.
Oh, all right. I will.
And some old guy next to me who couldn't get his headphones to work is watching my screen, and he can't hear it, but he can see the scenes on the screen, and he's laughing and pointing, and I'm like, okay, get out of here. Because it was some good memories.
He should have bought him some headphones.
I mean, his granddaughter put it together because she thought that he was not recognized properly as one of baseball's all-time greatest players.
Yeah, so, players, right.
Certainly. I mean, he had some success managing and not some success. But as a player, she thought he was very underrated. And that's because it started with the fact that he was this little, I don't know what you would call it, a little troll-looking guy.
Mm-hmm. On the Yankees, where there were 10 other guys.
Exactly.
There were in the Hall of
Fame. Major stars. And he was a bridge between some of the great stars of the past and then into the Mickey Mantle years. And anyway, all that. So, but it's not over till it's over. So let me tell you that the Pastathon is going to continue on.
Heard that before.
Pastathon.com. And of course, the auction item The John and Ken auction item is John Cobalt, guest host an hour with John Cobalt.
Ah.
That'll end Saturday, 11:45 p.m.
Where is it at? 5,500?
I don't know. I don't have an update on the bid. You'll have to ask your producer.
All right. If you have the top bid, you could sit with me on the radio for 1 hour.
God, I just 5,500. Outbid everyone. I want to sit with you for an hour.
You do?
Yeah, I did. I just outbid everybody. So I'm going to be like we talked yesterday. I'm going to swoop in at the last minute and make sure I win. Okay. I don't care if it's $1 million, right? shop at any Smart and Final store and donate a checkout. That ends Sunday night. And go to any Wendy's restaurant in SoCal. Donate $5 or more, get a coupon book worth $14. That also ends Sunday night. 100% of your donation goes to Katarina's Club, pastathon.com. All right, so you watched the whole debate?
I watched probably 90% of it. I cut out for the last segment or two because I had to go to the pet store and pick up you know those pee pads that dogs piss on?
And that they work?
Yeah, they do. They do. Okay. We keep a couple in one of the bathrooms in case he has an urge. Okay. And so he runs in there and he gives it a squirt. And he also poops on it from time to time. So we were dangerously short. And I promised my wife I was going to pick it up on the way home. And I said, I can't do that because, you know, Gavin Newsom is going to be on TV for an hour and a half. And I promised as soon as the debate was over, I'd go out and get those pee pads.
Right.
And so I missed the last few minutes because PetSmart, right? It closes at 8.
I see.
So true
domestic
story.
Domestic needs took priority.
That's right. But I saw most of it. I did my duty. I'm doing my job, even in the off hours.
What I watched, and this is what I wanted to say, because I read this immediately this morning from all the pundits who were writing about the debate, and there was a split, but there was a split definitely that leaned towards this side on the opposite of me, which is they didn't like all the shouting and yelling and crosstalk. And I said, that makes a conversation and a real debate. You challenge somebody immediately when they say something that's untrue.
Yeah. These
someone wanted the reasoned discourse and speaking at length on the important issues of the day. And then, you know, we're all asleep.
Nobody does this. Politicians are a bunch of clowns. Would you stop it? These journalists with their fake formality, those days are gone. They're gone.
Those days are gone.
Along with, you know, independent, objective journalists. They're gone, too. Okay?
So now,
these partisan hacks doing their stupid rah-rah dance, all these left-wing progressives. You know what I thought was telling? Was nobody said Newsom did a great job, right? All these progressive journalists. Nobody can say, wow, he was really sharp because he was a fool. He was a clown. He just had a couple of stupid insults, and he did not answer a single question posed to him. Not one. I mean, Hannity kept showing slide after slide after slide. Look at the number of people that have moved out of California to Florida. Look at the highest gas prices in the state. Look at the highest taxes in the country. Look at far worse school results than Florida. And statistical slide after slide. And Newsom never acknowledged any of it, never addressed it. Occasionally he would make up some fake statistics claiming that Florida was actually worse at this or that, but it was an incredible performance, and he had this snarky, irritating, annoying, smug, cocky, arrogant attitude about him that I just wanted to punch the television set after about 10 minutes. What a clown. I mean, he was like an 11-year-old.
Who knows what the audience for this? I didn't see the numbers yet because, you know, it's just on the one channel. And there are some people that will just never turn on Fox News for reasons dealing with their ideology. So I don't know. You know, I imagine that it's a lot of the Fox News fans that watched it and were curious to see the evil Newsom up there against one of their more heroes,
you know what?
DeSantis.
He's not evil. He's just a goof. He's not very bright. And he didn't address anything at all. Nothing. And he was full of these snarky, nasty insults. I mean, just a loser. He's not going anywhere. I don't like making predictions, but I'm making a prediction. Newsom is
Well, he did say neither one of us will be the nominee in November of 2024. Well, he said that DeSantis won't win, and I won't either because he's not running.
Who knows if anybody's going to live that long.
Live through that, right. We're going to start. Well, there's another thing that went on that we just both found out about because it happened after the debate was over. There was a lot going on behind the scenes, including Ms. Newsom and Ms. DeSantis and all sorts of complaints Turns out the Newsom side is complaining that not only DeSantis cheated, but so did Sean Hannity. But we'll get into that. I want to start with this clip because it's another reason where things got a little nasty behind the scenes. And it was a great moment for Ron DeSantis when he pointed out that Jennifer Cybele Newsom, the wife of Gavin Newsom's parents, moved to Florida in March of 2020. Here's the audio.
So I was talking to a fella who had made the move from California to Florida, and he was telling me that Florida is much better governed, safer, better budget, lower taxes, all this stuff. And he's really happy with the quality of life. And then he paused and he said, "And oh, by the way, I'm Gavin Newsom's father-in-law." So we do count Gavin's in-laws as some of the people that have fled California and come to the state of Florida. And why are we getting people to come? We have a 50-year low in the crime rate. You don't see in the last 10 years, we've had a 45% decline in homelessness. California's had a 45% increase in homelessness. We back the blue. I was walking the streets of San Francisco a couple months ago, and I had some of the cops in San Francisco do a beeline to come over to me, and I didn't know what they were going to say. And they're like, "We want to thank you for standing for law enforcement, because we don't get that support in the state of California." So people understand quality of life matters. They understand that Florida's doing it right. And I can tell you the numbers speak for themselves.
Yeah, and that was the big picture that he laid out there about crime, homelessness. Newsom can't defend these things. Everyone knows what California looks like, especially these cities, San Francisco, L.A. Newsom's in-laws are Kenneth Cybele Jr. and Judith Cybele, and they did buy a $3.3 million home in Naples, John, in March of 2020.
And the dad-in-law actually went out of his way to approach DeSantis with the story.
That's what it sounds like, yeah. Like, to tell him the story of being happy to move.
My daughter is married to the goof governor.
So I didn't see this part. Did Newsom make a face? Do we know if he got really did he cringe, or did he...
I saw that part. For most of the time, he had this snarky smirk on his face. And obviously, he didn't react, which was weird because much of the time, he interrupted and talked over DeSantis whenever there was an embarrassing question. He just made verbal chaos out of it in order to distract from whatever DeSantis was saying. Newsom had no response to most of the questions because there is no response. It was all true. We all live it. We know it's true. He didn't explain it. Like, all right, for example, Here's if you're going to have taxes that are much higher than Florida, you could say, for example, well, in California, we offer all these services that are beneficial and people like, and they don't mind paying it, and you don't have this in Florida. He didn't have that because there is no such thing. So he had no answers, no explanations, no apologies, no nothing. He just babbled. He just made sound. It was a strange, and about 15 minutes, I said to my wife, it's like, who thought this was a good idea? Because maybe the progressive hack journalists are going to pretend they're unimpressed. Normal people, though, they saw what Newsom was about.
So,
normal people.
When we come back, we'll do this story about supposedly what was going on behind the scenes, because there was a discussion about continuing the debate for well beyond the 90 minutes, perhaps into an hour, another hour or so. That didn't happen. Now, both sides disagree as to who stopped it, but one story says for sure Jennifer Cybele Newsom came out there on the set and ended it. We'll get to that like a boxer's trainer coming out. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, after the dad story.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we're going through last night's debate between DeSantis and Newsom. And one of the big stories is that behind the scenes, there was a lot of bickering from both sides, complaining that the other side was breaking the rules. But according to NBC News, four sources in the DeSantis camp, I mean, you have to accept that it's the DeSantis camp, one who witnessed a moment in the room and three others who were standing backstage, Newsom's wife, Jennifer Cybele Newsom, came into the debate room on at least two occasions to raise some objections, and a fifth source on the ground, unaffiliated with either campaign, confirmed it was Cybele Newsom that ended the debate on her husband's behalf, saying, "We're done. We're done."
because this is embarrassing. And I'm not going to be first lady.
One of her complaints centered around DeSantis' mention of her father, which we just played that audio in the first segment. Parents moved to Florida from California.
She should call up dad. I can't believe her dad went out of his way to tell
to
DeSantis.
Find DeSantis.
Yes.
Can you? I guess.
Yeah.
Because I think if that was not true, he would have spoken up by now, right? I never approached Ron DeSantis and told him that.
So, that's what I'm saying.
She must have gotten right on the phone with him. What did you do?
DeSantis just told the world.
It was a great aha moment.
Jennifer's dad thinks her husband is a complete waste.
So now we're getting a lot of stories along the lines, especially from the Newsom camp, that Sean had. It was two against one, that there was a teleprompter that only DeSantis could see showing the topics coming up, right? Oh, the list goes on here about, we're not supposed to use props. We're going to play you this next clip because apparently DeSantis DeSantis showed a poop map for San Francisco.
There was a guy who created an app a while back which plotted out all the poop calls to a special San Francisco poop hotline number. You could call in there and say, "Hey, I just found a poop on Fifth Street."
It was openthebooks.com. In fact, the CEO, Adam Andrewski, said that my first thought when that happened last night was one of pride.
Hey, that's my poop map.
I was surprised to see that at the end of the day, our poop map was still being recycled. It was drawn in 2019 by openthebooks.com. All right, well, here's the clip where DeSantis displays the poop map.
This is a map of San Francisco. There's a lot of plots on that. You may be asking, what is that plotting? Well, this is an app where they plot the human feces that are found on the streets of San Francisco. And you see how almost the whole thing is covered, because that is what has happened in one of the previous greatest cities this country's ever had. Human feces is now a fact of life, except when a communist dictator comes to town. Then they cleaned up the streets.
That's a good one. That's they had that conference, Asian Pacific conference.
Yeah, yeah. When
APEC.
Yeah.
When Biden showed up and Xi showed up.
Yeah,
right?
That's
what he's talking about.
But the whole map was brown. It was coated in brown, nearly every square inch.
I hope it wasn't that real texture.
God.
Yeah, the dots on the map each represent a reported instance of human feces found on city streets.
You know what the moment reminded me of? During one of the Trump debates, remember when he held up his hand to show him? The size of his penis. That's right. And I was sitting next to a guy. It was at one of the events we did. And he looked at me and he said, Did he just hold up his hand to compare it to his penis? I go, yeah, he did. And it's like, am I looking at DeSantis holding up a map of poop? it can't get any better.
The next clip, I think, is probably the best for the DeSantis side because... And it's about, quote, freedoms. It sums up all that's wrong with the state of California. And we put freedoms in quotes because he's being satirical. Let's play clip two.
Gavin Newsom, at one point, tried to say that California was the freedom state. And I just kind of laugh, like, you're locking people down. You're doing all this. But then I thought about it. You know, California does have freedoms that some people don't, that other states don't. You have the freedom to defecate in public in California. You have the freedom to pitch a tent on Sunset Boulevard. You have the freedom to create a homeless encampment under a freeway and even light it on fire. You have the freedom to have an open-air drug market and use drugs. You have the freedom, if you're an illegal alien, to get all these taxpayer benefits. So those are freedoms. They're not the freedoms our founding fathers envisioned, but they have contributed to the destruction of the quality of life in California, and the results speak for themselves. People are leaving the state because they have failed in addressing the homeless population.
Yeah, and Newsom loves numbers, but the numbers show that people are leaving California. Oh. It's not millions, but it's significant enough that, and I always point this out to people, we lost a seat in Congress. That was the last census. So
yeah, and it's why they leave. And it's part of it is the quality of life, the just the filth of San Francisco. That's why in San Francisco, working at home became so wildly popular more than anywhere else, because who wants to go in there every day and do the poop hopscotch and the heroin needle hopscotch and hopscotching over, you know, the fentanyl victims dying on the sidewalk? Well, you know, nobody needs to see that.
The two words are tolerate and normalize, and that's what's happened in the last 10 years. And we covered this at length yesterday. We had a great guest yesterday about Prop 47 and the fact that the police, do they care anymore, was kind of the question that was posed to police officers in Los Angeles County, because Prop 47 began the big decline in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can point right there.
Yep.
And then with the people that got elected, the Garcettis and the Newsoms and the Gascones, that just piled on.
Yeah, and Gascon wrote Prop 47.
That's right. So
we got a full circle there.
All right, we'll play more of these clips next hour. We'll save a few. We'll get one in there. Newsom did have a good little zig. He got DeSantis over his poor poll numbers, even in his home state of Florida, running for president. When we come back, though, speaking of the homeless, NBC4, Joel Grover and the I-Team, you got to hear this report. We're 1 year into the reign of Karen Bascon, we're calling her? Bascon?
Yes, Bascon.
Karen Bascon, and of course, about a year ago, she announced a state of emergency, inside safe. We're going to clean up this homeless problem. Well, you'll hear some of the results of that a year later. Coming up next, John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, and we're on the radio from 1 until 4. And then after 4 o'clock, John and Ken on demand, the podcast, same as the radio show. And you could listen to whatever you missed. And you've already missed our run through of the DeSantis Newsom.
No, there's more coming next hour.
More coming next hour.
There, we got more clips we'll go through next hour of Newsom against DeSantis in the what they call the red state, blue state debate last night on Fox News. Well, KFI carried it too. We will have Moistline callers in the 3 o'clock hour. And this is a little complicated and difficult, but I mean, doing Hack in a Dumpster isn't, but this particular version of Hack in a Dumpster, well, you'll see how it plays out. But again, it's from a big story of the week, and these hacks definitely have to go into the dumpster for the move that they made, along with the public that showed up to support the move they made. So that's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Well, this headline, my jaw dropped this morning. The NBC4's I-Team, L.A. Mayor's Inside Safe effort, $67 million spent, only 255 homeless people permanently housed. This is 1 year since we had this mayor this enter. We'll let you know.
$67 million, 255 people.
I did the math on that. That's $263,000 per person permanently housed. Now I realized.
Permanently housed in a motel room.
Well, that's not supposed to be the idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the permanent housing is supposed to be something else. The motels are supposed to be this in-between point to get them off the streets. And then, I don't know whether it's an apartment or something. Maybe that Skid Row Housing Trust thing.
But,
I don't know.
But most of these people were put in motels.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that are still in the motels. Well, all right, let's play the story from Joel Grover and NBC4's I-Team.
Just under the 405 freeway at Venice Boulevard, city workers dismantle this encampment, throwing away tents and sweeping up hypodermic needles. That was 5 weeks ago at an encampment where the I-Team has documented deadly shootouts and frequent gunfire. But on this day in late October, caseworkers from a nonprofit hired by the city were offering a new beginning to the unhoused like Gabriel Felix.
And I just want to get back to living life.
He says his life changed when his baby daughter suddenly died 7 years ago, sending him into a depression where he quit his job as a barber and ended up at the Venice 405 encampment.
I felt like I've just been dead for the past 7 years.
Living here on the streets?
Yes.
But Felix and others were full of hope 5 weeks ago when they were shuttled far away to the Full Moon Motel in South LA and were told by caseworkers they'd help them find apartments and get them much needed services. 5 weeks later, I caught up with Gabriel.
You can't just put someone in a room and expect them to just magically, their lives are put back together.
He says he hasn't seen a single caseworker, has been shown no apartments, and hasn't been offered services. And he's afraid to leave his motel room because prostitution, documented by the I-Team, and drug dealing are rampant right outside.
I feel less safe than I did when I was out on the street right now.
And he's not alone. The I-Team has been following unhoused people since they were moved off the streets by the mayor's Inside Safe program almost a year ago and taken to motels like Faith Stevens.
You suffer from depression?
Yeah.
Faith was moved to a second floor room at a South LA motel, even though she had trouble climbing stairs from a car accident. We heard her caseworker last summer promised to move her downstairs within 3 days.
Give me till Friday and it'll be done.
But that didn't happen, and Faith eventually fell down the motel stairs, ending up in the hospital.
Sir, you need to call corporate.
Her caseworker didn't want to talk to us. 7 months in the Inside Safe program, Faith says her caseworkers still haven't found her an apartment or gotten her services as promised.
My whole life has been put on hold from this situation. I can't do anything unless I'm rooted and grounded.
All told, after almost a year, the Inside Safe program has moved only about 4% of LA's homeless inside, about 1,900 people. But it's found permanent housing for only 255 of them.
Are you satisfied with those numbers?
No, I am not satisfied with those numbers at all.
Mayor Bass told the I-Team tackling homelessness is harder than she originally thought.
Oh, really?
And more expensive. According to her office, Inside Safe has cost taxpayers more than $67 million so far this fiscal year, out of $250 million approved for the program. Those motel rooms for people like Faith and Gabriel cost an average of $3,300 a month per person, more than the cost of a decent apartment.
Are taxpayers at this point getting their bang for the buck?
Well, I think long term,
no.
We have to come up with a model that's more financially sustainable.
Bass says the city is considering buying and leasing entire motels instead of renting by the room. Bass also says she's removing barriers to getting homeless people into apartments, like the requirement that they have a government ID to apply for housing.
No,
if you don't have an address, how are you supposed to have a government-issued ID?
And what about those caseworkers from nonprofits hired by the city?
Yeah, there is.
Who haven't yet found people like Faith Stevens and Gabriel Felix the permanent housing they promised.
We have worked them well beyond their capacity. They never had to work at this volume before. So they basically cannot manage it.
I can understand why people say I give up.
Some of the homeless people we've met now say they're considering going back to the streets, where they felt more in control of their daily lives and at times have even felt safer than in those motels.
What do you say to people who've almost lost hope?
I don't want to see somebody leave a motel where they have hygiene, where they have food, where they have the possibility of services, to go to a tent where they might die.
Even though there's like prostitutes and drug dealers outside their door, gang members, who knows what. But that's, I just want to point out, that's what we're talking about. Permanent housing is like an apartment, John. The motel thing is not considered permanent housing.
Okay, so they only got, 255 people put
into some kind of apartment that they consider permanent housing.
And there's 40,000 plus in the streets in LA.
46,000, it says.
They got 46,000. They got 255.
It's only a year in.
And it's $67 million in.
But didn't she say, I have to look this up, that it'd be a year and a half, and you'll see a big difference or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, she said all kinds of crazy things. And I didn't know it would be this hard. Yeah, and these caseworkers, they never had to work this hard before. Oh.
Did you hear that one toothless vagrant in there who said you can't just plop somebody in a motel room and expect everything to be fine? That's what I always said. This housing first thing is lunacy.
That's obvious. They have severe mental illness and drug addiction.
Right. And obviously, the other thing, though, is some of them deserve a big boot in the butt. They really do. Some of these homeless people. There's nothing in there about them taking some responsibility. They're not helpless babies. Everything has to be done for them. I don't know what to do next. I can't get an ID in order to get the paperwork to get an apartment. Get out of here. Figure it out. These are adults. I can't believe that we have to be babysitters.
They showed grown men sitting on the curb. What are you guys doing? You could stand up, walk down the block to a Home Depot, and you could be getting paid that day in hours. You could be a day laborer every day of the year. That's what the immigrants are doing. How come we're getting in hundreds of thousands of immigrants? They figure it out right away. Go to the Home Depot. Stand at the corner. Guy will drive by in a pickup truck, said, hey, I need somebody to lay these bricks. Okay.
Pays you cash, tax-free.
What are you doing? You're sitting and moaning and moping on the curb? I'd rather go lay the bricks.
We'll have more on this sort of in the 3 o'clock hour.
Karen Bass is a loser, okay?
She held a news event today because they're trying to find out who's murdering homeless people.
Other homeless people.
Yeah, apparently there were 3 murders on November 26th, 27th, and 29th in downtown and South L.A. of homeless people.
Or criminals that her buddy Gascon will not prosecute.
All right, we'll be right back. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, we got a lot to come in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll play more clips from the DeSantis-Newsom debate. We'll also take a look at this story that the New York Times broke, that Israel knew a year ago that Hamas was planning a pretty big-scale attack. We'll tell you why they didn't take it seriously.
It was almost the exact plan that Hamas used.
It was. We'll talk about that.
They had an advanced copy a year ago.
In the 2 o'clock hour.
Who's their president? George Bush?
The number is 10. That's how many people picked Sandra Day O'Connor to die in 2023 in the John and Ken 2023 Ghoul Pool. And that news came out this morning at the age of 93. She was the first woman to serve on the United States Supreme Court, appointed by Ronald Reagan back in 1981. And she served for quite a few years, eventually stepping down because her husband had dementia and then he passed away. But I, the one thing I remembered her was getting, remember the big Florida recount?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Bush against Gore.
She was one of the votes to stop the recount.
Exactly what happens. A 5-4 opinion declaring that the recount had to stop. It violated the constitutional command of equal protection and could not proceed.
Because they didn't have a uniform way to recount the vote in each county.
If we only had a President Gore, wouldn't life today be so much better? And
we'd all be peddling tricycles.
What's wrong with that?
Boy, you look at the history of bad choices, Bush versus Gore. Whoa, what a stinker that was. So, followed by Bush versus Kerry. Yeesh. Yeah.
It's been quite a run here lately of people from public life, especially political life in their 90s, dying with Rosalind Carter, Henry Kissinger, and now Sandra Day O'Connor, who was 93.
I really thought she was gone when I saw the headline. I checked the date. I thought maybe it was an old headline that popped up.
Oh, when you sent me that text, I thought she died already.
Yeah. Well, she left 17 years ago.
But it was to care for her husband. I know, but he died in 2009.
She was really out of sight for so long. I just assumed that, you know.
Well, she was considered, and there's really none of this anymore, like a swing vote. She could sometimes side with the conservative justice, sometimes the liberal justices. So people did cherish her for a while for being in that position. But I didn't realize, looking at her obit and her history, that she got so involved in the whole abortion thing. So. And that was a big deal back then, particularly when Reagan was president.
Yeah, she kept that from being rolled back decades ago.
Well, here's from the category of something maybe you always wondered, and now you can find out. There's apparently a book called Outrageous, A History of Showbiz and the Culture Wars. And the New York Post decided that one particular story from the book was worth putting in an article, and that concerns the original edition of the game show Family Feud, hosted by Richard Dawson, and the thing that he did that apparently appalled Americans quite a bit back then when they were watching the show, he would kiss the contestants on the lips.
Yeah, that was his shtick.
The revelation in this book is that they tested all the contestants for herpes.
Good idea.
Before they got to be on the show. Well,
Richard wanted to stay healthy. You don't know where those mouths have been. You know what? You know where people put their mouths?
Oh my God. No one would do that today, particularly with all the paranoia over COVID. But, I remember thinking that. Maybe not so much back then, but watching the reruns later, I'm like, oh.
I always thought it was gross.
I mean, to kiss on the cheek is one thing, but the lips?
Some of those people didn't look kissable.
One contestant said, okay, they told us, a production assistant came in, okay, everybody line up for your herpes test.
Oh. And they did, though, right?
Well, if you want to be on the show, yeah.
They wanted to all be on TV so badly, it's like, yeah, go ahead, check my mouth for herpes. Oh, my God. But, you know, but people put their mouths late at night.
It's terrible. I know that.
It's terrible.
He said he started the tradition because there was a contestant who could not come up with an answer. And he said, one way I was taught by my mom is to make people calm down is just give them a kiss. So I kissed her on the cheek, and immediately she spouted out an answer. But I don't know why he has to kiss him on the mouth.
Well, like,
that's more romantic.
Sure. Well, that's what I'm saying. It depended on how kissable these people were.
And they recount in this that there were complaints from many viewers back then about how unsanitary and disgusting and promiscuous this was. Both male and male contestants?
He did not kiss male contestants.
It says that both had to undergo a mouth test with a magnifying glass from medical staff.
Well, in case...
looking for herpes.
In case he really got out of control.
Or he was too drunk that day to...
Started assaulting the guys.
To realize...
Oh, man.
Whether he was kissing a male or a female. All right, we'll be right back. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. Yeah. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Nowadays, you couldn't be sure.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.